So this morning, this sermon is called The Battle for Freedom.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Would you pray together with me? Lord, thank you for another day to be in your house and to give you the praise that's due to you. I'm going to ask, Father, right now that you would anoint me as your servant to bring your word, and Father, that I would bring it accurately. I thank you so much for what you have given to us. And we want to dig deeper into your word here today. And I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, God's people say amen. Amen. Again, I want to thank Pastor Aaron for bringing two wonderful messages. How many appreciate Pastor Aaron? Amazing. Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. All right, this morning, the Lord has laid a message upon my heart, and I want to bring this morning. It would change our hearts and change the way that we see freedom. So we've been talking about that in the videos and what freedom is. But I want to talk about it in the context of the freedom that we enjoy as believers in Christ. And so this morning, would you go with me? Several scriptures we're going to start out this morning talking about. Romans chapter 7 is we're going to begin at. Romans chapter 7. And this is the Apostle Paul that is talking here. And we're going to start in verse 23, and then we're going to continue it on through into chapter 8, the first couple of verses. Remember, when the Apostle Paul was writing this, there was no chapter breaks in this. And so he is continuing a theme here, and he says in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Anybody ever fought with yourself and that sin that's within you? I mean, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. Even the great Apostle Paul, who wrote three quarters of the New Testament of the Bible, said he struggled with this. Those things that I want to do, he says, I find myself not doing them. And then he says this great statement, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Anybody ever felt that way? And I love this. "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the answer." Years ago, some of us remember this song. It was sung back like in the late 60s, early 70s. And the song, I think it was Andre Crouch, said, "Jesus is the answer for the world today." Anybody remember that song? Wow, am I that old? Come on now. Oh, I got one that remembers it. Two. All right, three. "Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way." Okay, and we talk about that because this is what the Apostle Paul said. "I thank God it's through Jesus Christ that can help me with that dilemma of this sin nature that is working within me." And then verse 1 and 2 of chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, I want to talk about that kind of freedom today. We've been talking about freedom here that came with our country, and we thank God for people like Dave that have been in our military and many others of you that have served in military. But there's a freedom that we get to enjoy in Christ. When we are in Christ, We no longer have to cower to that sin man that's wanting us to do all those things that we ought not to do. See, because when Christ is in me, when Christ is in me, I can stand and I can say no to that flesh man. I do not have to obey you because I have been set free by the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 has always been one of my very favorite scripture verses, because I remember when I was working at Teen Challenge. This was when Rick and I were there in California, Southern California, and we worked in Christian rehab. And one of the things that we know is that the individual that sets us free is Jesus Christ. It's not the programs. It's not all the 7 steps, the 12 steps. And I know that they are trying. But it is Jesus Christ that sets us free. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Jake, welcome back. Glad to have you. Amen. I saw his face back there and he's going, Pastor might have gotten a little older, but he still got it. Praise God. And that's, I might wear out a little sooner though. But I praise God again, a miracle that he's done for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, someone gave me a plaque that they had hand carved, and it was chains that were broken. And it was given to me by one of the men that was at Teen Challenge. And it simply says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. So if you want freedom, you have to have the Spirit of the Lord there in your life. He breaks the chains. So this morning, the reason that we in the United States have our picnics and have our fireworks and have all the celebrations that we have is because of the freedoms that we enjoy as a nation. But let me tell you that it came at a cost. Our freedom as a nation came at a cost of those service men and women that served, gave their lives, and oftentimes today I don't feel that young people actually appreciate that. And we need to be taught again about that and the service that was done and the service that continues to be done. Thank you, David. You're still in the military. We praise God for that. But so it is with the promise of heaven, what we just heard about, the liberty that we have in Christ, and what the Lord sets us free from, that came with a cost as well. So this morning, this sermon is called The Battle for Freedom. And I want to talk about this. It came at a large cost. It came at a cost for God Himself. And many of us know some of these scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There was a cost there, folks. You see, because in the beginning, Jesus was there with God. When the world was created, when we were created, when all that we see was created, Jesus was there in the beginning. But yet, God sacrificed His Son, God gave. There was a cost there. How about for Jesus? Was there a cost? And we're going to talk about that. John chapter 15, verse 13. There was a great cost for Jesus. Some people think, He was just Jesus. He was God. You know what? There was nothing for Him to do what He did. Yes, there was. There's a cost of freedom that you and I enjoy, this freedom from sin. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus called us friends, Sheila, did he not? He laid his life. If you go with me over to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Most of us have heard this scripture before, but John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus was talking and he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he'll go in and out and find a pasture. The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. How many of you know that? The devil only comes for that reason. To kill, steal, and destroy. He's been doing it since the beginning of time, and he continues to do it. To kill, steal, and destroy. But look at this. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So there was a cost for Jesus. See, because he didn't have to come. But he did it for us. There is a great cost. Now God wants us to remember that cost and this liberty that we enjoy in Christ. He doesn't want us to forget it. As a matter of fact, the Lord just continued to lay that upon my heart. Remind my people of the cost of this freedom that we have in Christ. That we enjoy. How many of you enjoy the freedom and forgiveness of sin? How many people here have never sinned before? Can I get one? Wait, put my hand down. Okay. There's not a one of us, is there? But how many of us have been forgiven? How many of us have been forgiven in the last week of something? I'll go further. In the last 3 days. In the last day. In the last minute. Yeah. Some of you are saying, I wish he would be quiet. See, God's forgiving you, okay? There is a cost for that. See, we enjoy that, but there's a cost. There was a battle that took place. And today in this sermon, I just want to go through that battle beginning to end so that we understand what happened, that we can sit in this place today. And oftentimes people come to church for years and years and years and they don't know any of this. But we're going to hear it today and we're going to remember what God did for us. In the beginning, I want you to turn back there with me to Genesis. And we're going to go back to the very beginning of Scripture and very beginning of time here. Genesis chapter 3. And here we go. Adam and Eve at this point are found naked in the garden. Now they have already partaken of the fruit. And here we go. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you that you should not eat? The man is the first one. Adam steps up here. And here's what he does. Classic to Adam and to men. The man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat because she made me eat it. Woman did it. If you had not given me that woman, I wouldn't be in the place I am today. Come on, men. I don't hear very many men saying amen here. Yeah? There's one. You know better than that, don't you? Sin now has taken place because they did exactly what God said don't do. So the next thing, he says it is that woman did it. She did it. She made me eat it. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Mom said, we better jump to the woman here first, right? And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent made me eat it. Isn't that just like us? We always have an excuse, and it was someone else's fault. Like, anybody ever got mad at someone? Come on, you liars, right? You raise both my hand. We all have, right? And then the excuse that we use is, you made me do it. You made me get mad at you by what you said. Now, you've heard me preach about this before. No one has the power to make you mad. That's a whole different sermon. But we need to stop blaming others for what we have done and putting the blame off just like they did. And the Lord God said to the serpent, all right, it's channeled down from the woman now to the woman blames the serpent. And the Lord says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly will you go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire will be to your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, when we look at this particular thing that happened here, there was a price to pay for sin, and they were paying it. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you'll eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth unto you. And by the way, I just planted a garden and it's happening right now. Thorns and thistles. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till I return you to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, unto dust you shall return. There was a price to pay for this sin, wasn't there? Yeah, absolutely there was. But this included Jesus. Now, some of you say, how did it include Jesus? Because God now has to make a plan. It was never God's desire for man to die. This is the reason why we hurt so bad when our loved ones pass. Because we were created in God's image. He never intended for us to die. But now he has to make a plan, because there's more than physical death here that's involved. There is now a spiritual death. See, when you disobey God, there's consequences for that. God had to make a plan. And so the plan involved Jesus here. And what this was talking about, if you look in this verse right now in verse 15, look at this again, because I want you to understand, I will put enmity between you and the woman, Satan and the woman and her seed. What this is talking about is Jesus would be the seed of the woman. And God said, Satan, between you and Jesus, he's going to bruise your head. Jesus is going to bruise your head, but you're going to bruise his heel. I want you to understand something here, that he had to make an alternate plan at that point. Because it was his plan for you and I to live together with him. It was never God's plan for us to go to this place called hell. Never, ever. That place was created for Satan and for his demons. Never, ever was it created for us. But do men go there and do women go there? Yes. They go to this place because they refuse to accept what God has for them. They refuse. So we see it right here in the beginning that God said that this was going to take place. So everybody following me so far? We're going to move on in the story here. The next thing that we're going to look at There is a battle that takes place in heaven. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 14. Because I want you guys to understand this, what happened here and this battle that has taken place over the ages. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Hear now, Isaiah the prophet is recalling what happened. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Lucifer meaning Satan himself, the devil. How are you cut down to the ground which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Church, I want you to know something. This is speaking about Satan himself. There was a battle that took place in heaven where the devil stood up and the devil said, listen, God, step aside. See, the Bible says that the devil was created the most beautiful angel when God created all of the angels. He was the most magnificent. And yet he stands up and he says, God, step out of the way. I will be God. How do you think that went with God? Now we're going to go over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Now we're going to start in verse 13 here. Again, Ezekiel, another prophet, speaks about this. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Who do you think he's talking about? He's talking about devil. He's talking about this one that tempted Eve. He said, you were there. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, carbuncle, gold, workmanship of your tabrets, and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. See, he was gorgeous. He was beautiful. He was made of all of the wonderful things. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God, and you walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, you have filled the midst of you with violence and have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you. God said he was going to do it when Satan arose up and said, I will be God. God said, I don't think so. And there was a battle in heaven and Satan was cast out of heaven. Now we see the inside of what is happening. But where was he cast to? Right here, folks. Trouble now begins on earth. Luke chapter 10. We pick up the story here. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is speaking here in verse 18 and 19. And Jesus said to his disciples, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. See, Jesus was there too. When Satan lifted up himself and said, I will be God, Jesus said, I saw God cast him out of heaven. And now, here's the wonderful thing. We quote this scripture and we see this. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. He was talking to his disciples. He was talking to us because of the fact that Satan had been cast out of all authority. Listen, he has no authority. The only authority that people give him is what they give him. If you allow him to work in your life, he will. But he has no authority. He has been cast out from that place of authority. The battle raged on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. See, these are giving us glimpses as to what happens here. He was cast out to earth, and according to this verse, here, he became the prince of the power of the air. Now, Paul also said, we're wrestling against this principality. Is Satan real? Absolutely, he's real. And he will cause all the havoc that could be caused. But I love it in Ezekiel. Ezekiel continued on and he said, one day we're going to see him as he is. And the nations will all say, who is this pipsqueak that caused all this trouble? That caused all this trouble? We're not going to give him any authority. As believers, Christ Jesus has the authority. The battle, now Satan's cast out. He's now the prince of the power of the air. Jesus now comes along, part of God's plan. That God sends Jesus, born into a human body. I mean, he's King of Kings, he's God. Born into a human body, and then has to be taken care of. Satan's watching the whole time, and of course, we know it comes to the cross. Jesus is now crucified, hanging on that cross. And then, he dies. Satan thinks, I have won! I've killed Jesus. I am the man! I don't know what God is thinking, but I have got him. Now here we get a glimpse. Jesus is under Satan's grip, not because of sin in his life, but because of our sin. See, he willingly laid himself down. I want to talk about, go with me to the book of Matthew. I want to talk about this place. What did Jesus endure? You see, there was a cost. Some people think, well, you know, he was God. But the Bible says that he went to the lower parts of the earth. He went into this place of hell. And some people think, hey, he was God, so nothing could happen to him. What was this place like? The Bible says that it was a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'll tell you this today. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that are, they're not saved. They're out on the streets. They're doing what they want to do. And they say, you know what? I don't care because when I get to hell, I'm going to party with all my friends and we're going to have a great time there. You talk about a lie. There's not going to be any partying going on in hell. Matthew chapter 27. 39 to 46. Here's what Jesus went through. And they that passed by him on that cross reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, you that destroyed the temple, build it in 3 days and save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down off of that cross. Likewise, the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and elders said, he saved himself. Himself he cannot save. If he's the king of Israel, let him come down from that cross, and then we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver himself now. You see what he went through, folks? The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice on that cross, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here, my friends, is what Jesus endured. Not only the mockings and the beatings, but God had to turn his back on Jesus and say, I cannot look upon sin. He took upon himself our sin. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And because he took upon himself our sin, he went to that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. He did it for us. Turn over with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Jesus gives us a little bit of a glimpse of what this place was like. He tells a story. There was a certain rich man in verse 19. He was clothed in purple and all the fine garments, and he ate sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I want you to notice that that's plural there. Not just one kind of torment, but torments. Constantly being tormented. There's not going to be a party in hell, folks. There's not. And he saw Abraham on the other side and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send me Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Do you see what hell looks like now? You think it's been hot around here? We're talking tormenting flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the great things, goods, and Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. I want us to see that and understand what Jesus went through. He paid a huge cost. He was in Satan's hands with all of this happening to him for no reason of his own, but for us. I can imagine 3 days Satan was laughing. I got him. I got him. This whole thing about redemption, this whole thing about sins being forgiven, it's done because I got him. But I want us to remember, Jesus said, in 3 days, 3 days, I'm going to rise from that grave. Day one, Satan was laughing. Day two, Satan was laughing. Day three, he started getting a little nervous. Saying, you know what? He said he would rise, but I still got him. And on day three, Jesus rose from that grave. Come on. And the Bible says that he took the keys. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he said to the devil, give those to me. I am the authority. And my God reigns forever and ever. If you don't believe me, we're going to look at Revelation. Turn over with me to the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. I still got some breath in me, Jake. All right. We're going here. Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. Jesus appears to the apostle John right before he writes this book of Revelation. And he says this. Revelation chapter 1 in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the middle of the candlesticks was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if they had been burned in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun that shineth in strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I know some people that say, you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus all about the things he didn't do for me. When you face that Jesus, are you going to be doing that?
No.
You're going to be doing just like John. Right down on your face before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not fear. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Somebody say amen. Come on now. He says, I have them no longer to be returned to Satan. Oh, how we have come now. Jesus arose from that grave. Jesus is going to seal the deal, and Satan loses here, folks. Turn with me over a couple more chapters to chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, when the enemy comes, when the devil comes, and he tries to tell you, listen, that Jesus stuff is not going to work. You can look at him and say, devil, I know what the end of the book says. And you are cast into the lake of fire. You lose. Church, let me ask you, was there a price to pay? There is a battle for our spiritual freedom. And we just ran you through it beginning to end. So, we see that by all of this that was paid for by the blood of Christ, we do not need to take for granted this freedom that we have. If you are a believer in Christ, you got the freedom. Maybe it's time today that we make a decision that we're going to give all to Jesus, because he paid the final price. See, he gives us our citizenship in heaven. Not by anything we've done, but what he has done. There are some final exhortations that I want you to see. Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, again, Galatians chapter 5, he talks about this. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How many of us have been in bondage in the past? Come on. And he says, you've been given a freedom. Don't go back there again. Don't go back to those things that once held you captive. Don't go back there, because in Christ you are a new creature. But that old devil, he knows he has but short time, and he's going to come and he's going to say what? You know that's not the truth. You know you want that. You know you need that.
You know you got to go back to that same thing because that's who you are. When that old devil starts to do his weaving in and out of your life and in your thoughts, I want you to stand up and say, I have been free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been free because He paid the price for me. So guess what, devil? Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus paid the price for me, not you. Not you. Over in verse 13 and 14. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only don't use your liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but love and serve one another. Love and serve one another. The price was paid, and I thank God for it. Do you? But our exhortation is, don't go back to those things that once held us captive. That's the promise of God. There was a battle for our freedom, and I'm not going back. I'll finish off by one thing that extremely blessed me as I got to see Pastor Dorsonville, but really what blessed me even more was seeing his two children that Pastor Aaron and I, back in 2007, rode in the back of an old beat-up small little pickup truck with a bunch of little Haitian kids. And we were rolling down the road, and those kids were singing the only thing they knew in English. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. And each one of them separately came up to me at different times, and they got up right next to me and said, I got my mind made up. And they were like, what, 18 years ago. Stand fast in the liberty that God has called us to. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that you have given us this journey through time on your word, based on your word. And we believe you, and we thank you for that liberty. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for each one here, wherever they're at in their walk with you, that today would be the day that they would say, I got my mind made up. I'm not turning back. I'm going to serve my Jesus because He gave it all for me. Thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.